Luke chapter 24, verse number 1. Last week we went over this, that He arose. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Amen. The Bible tells us that the angels look into the concerns of Christ and what He's doing for His people. They're concerned about it all the time. They're in watch over us and watch care over us. And here these angels said, "We don't understand this either. Why did y'all come down here looking for Him?" Before they put Him on the cross, He said, "In 3 days, I'll rise up again." Could they find no one that believed what He said? The angels in there said, "Why you seek the living among the dead?" And He said verse 6, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered His words. Amen? Boy, isn't that great sometimes when you get into a situation and you remember His words. You know, the only way you can remember His words is if you've digested His words. We all need to read our Bibles more than we do. I don't care who you are. You need to read it more than you do. I need to read it more than I do, so that we can remember His words. And look what they did. "And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." So the ladies run back to the upper room where the apostles are at, and a great many others are packed into this room. And they said, "Hey, we've went down there. He's risen. There was two angels that told us, hey, remember what He said." And look what the apostles, they said that their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. You know, it's no wonder that Mark, look over into Mark right quick. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 12. "No one believed." Jesus told them over and over again. The Old Testament Scriptures foretold that, which they should have known. But Mark chapter 16 and verse 12 says, "And after that He appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and unbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen." The apostles themselves didn't believe that He had risen. Man, we look at that and we go, no, wait a minute, yeah, they did. Eventually they did. You know, we have the advantage of having the book of Acts and the book of all the remainder of the books that were written, and we can go, yeah, boy, they got on fire for God. But you got to understand, right after this happened, none of them believed. They didn't believe that He could conquer death and rise from the dead. And just finishing out here in verse 15, He said, "And He said unto them, Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now don't get confused there on that believeth and being baptized. Being baptized doesn't save you. When you get saved, you should follow in Christ and get baptized. But look at the verse after the semicolon there says, but he that believeth not. It's not he that believeth not or don't get baptized. It's he that believeth not. Christ is talking to them because they didn't believe. He said, them that believeth not shall be damned. And then look at verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, look, if you're going to do this work, you've got to believe. You know, as I study this, I might ask myself, do I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt? Beyond a shadow of a doubt that this happened the exact way it says. I said, of course I do. I believe because He makes me believe. But I have no problem believing what happened here because I have the written Word. I have the Scriptures. Everything fits neatly together. I'm telling you, one day, that godless country of Turkey is going to allow someone... My goodness, we went to the moon. Could we not go over into Mount Ararat and find the Noah's Ark? I mean, could we not get over to there? I don't care what's there. I know it's 70 feet of ice and snow 11 months out of the year. But could we not that 30 days go over there and dig that thing up? And somebody say, hey, I wonder what this is. And somebody look over here in Genesis and say, well, is it 450 cubits long? Is it a 75 cubits high? Well, I got a pretty good idea what it is. Because you know what happens then? Wow, if the first part of this is true, I just wonder. I just wonder. I don't have to see the ark. I don't have to know it's laying there. I know it is. I know it's there because His Word says it's there. We have such a truer and sure way of our salvation because we have the written Word. We see here in verse 18 it says, or verse 17 it says, and these shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There were certain signs that were going to follow these apostles and the disciples of Christ because they didn't have the written Word. Man, anybody now, if you go and try and witness to someone and you say, man, let me show you how to receive Christ, what's the first thing you do? You take the Word of God and you show them, right? They didn't have that. They didn't have the advantage that we have today of having the written Word of God. And how great is that for us? We have the whole contained Word of God. God doesn't have to speak through prophets anymore. He said, I've said everything that's need to be said. Read it. You know, read it, comprehend it. I've been a little frustrated. I've been reading Jeremiah, just reading through the Bible, and it's not fair because you can't stop and say, what's going on here? Well, this sounds like this is something pretty major, but you have to keep reading, you know, and get through. I think that the studying of it is where we find the real meaning of what's going on. But he says we're going to give them special signs and wonders so that people will say, you know, hey, they just raised so-and-so from the dead. We might want to listen to them. You know, when Paul got bit on the Isle of Malta by the viper, they thought he was a god. You know, they said, man, he's going to die. God's mad at him. He shook it off into the fire and, you know, 30 minutes later, he's fine. And they said, wait a minute. Not only is God not mad at him, he must be a god. But God told him that those things would not befall them as they started into the ministry and establishing the church. Now, we have some nutcases today that still think this applies. You know, I love the documentary of those guys over in the Appalachians that play with the snakes and stuff. You know, Stumpy that's been bit so many times he's lost fingers and limbs and stuff. Praise God! You know? It's not applicable today because we have the written Word of God. Back over in Luke, chapter 24. Verse 12 says, "Then Peter arose and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. It was about 7 miles to this little village that was just an obscure little village off of the beaten path. They had left out of Jerusalem on the Roman road and had gotten onto a goat trail and headed up to this little village. And it was two people. We know one of them's name Cleopas. We know that he was one of them. The other one is not mentioned by name. Through the study of it, it's more than likely his wife. Her name was Mary. She was probably one of the Marys that was at the crucifixion and probably went to the sepulchre to anoint the body of Jesus. And so she was a witness to it. But here this two, and just for today's lesson, we'll assume that it was him and his wife, and they were going back home. They were going back home on the resurrection day. They had been there that week. They had seen the triumphant entry. They had seen all the stir, all the hoopla. They witnessed the trial. They saw the murder of a man from Galilee hung on the cross. They witnessed the crucifixion. They saw the sky turn black. They seen all these things happen. They saw him taken down and put in a sepulchre. And then one of them, more than likely, went to the sepulchre and saw the stone rolled away and an empty tomb. They're heading back home, and they really don't know what to think. Man, they are going over the events of the day, and they're pretty perplexed. Look at verse 13. "And behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus drew himself near and went with them." So you can just imagine that they're walking along, probably not going at a very, very high rate of speed, because Jesus comes up and overtakes them. Verse 16, "But their eyes were holding that they should not know him." So this stranger comes up. They see him. They acknowledge each other. But they don't see or understand that it's Jesus. We see that he does that to the apostles here in just a little bit on the Sea of Galilee. But he doesn't reveal himself to them as they communicate here. Verse 17, "And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" He realized that they were sad. They walked along. They were talking to each other. Again, they were probably very perplexed that they had witnessed all this stuff. They got down to the final hour, and now there's no body in the grave. And they're sad. Last Sunday, we were all happy. Hallelujah. He is risen. He's alive. Man, hallelujah. But they were sad. Verse 18 says, "And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass therein these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the word before God, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people." To be called a prophet was a pretty high honor for a Jew to call someone a prophet. You understand, a prophet was someone who spoke for God. That's a pretty high honor. When we hear these so-called prophets today saying that God told them to say something, be careful. They're putting honor upon themselves that God hadn't bestowed upon them. I was just reading this week in Jeremiah where Hezekiah, one of the Kais, came and prophesied something, and Jeremiah said, "Hey, God didn't tell you to do that," and he got killed. Be careful about saying, "God told me to say this." Here's what God told anybody else to say, right here, in totality. Verse 20, "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." Remember his triumphant entry? And they said, "Hosanna, our king has come." Their king had come. They were ready. They were going to be taken out of bondage from Rome, and Rome had just persecuted them and beat them down beyond measure. They had always been that way. And man, their king had entered into the scene, and they were going to be redeemed. And this couple here that was Jewish said, "Man, we just knew it was time. In our lifetime, the king had come." I'll tell you the excitement that we have. I believe in our lifetime, the king is going to come. And we should have the excitement that they had. You know, they were living in a time that like no other time on the face of the earth. I believe we're living in a time like no other time on the face of the earth. As I said, barring hit from a bus, we're liable not to have to die. Man, no man has ever been put in that position on the face of the earth. Every man afraid of death and dying and the grave. But in our lifetime, I believe that the king is going to come. I believe he's going to return. And here these two people were so hopeful. Man, they were there and they put the palm leaves down and they took their garments off and laid down for his entry. And they said, "The king has come. Look out, Rome. Here we come." And all of a sudden, they grabbed him and crucified him. And they were bewildered. Not only did they witness his death, and he died, they put him in the tomb, and then they went and looked, and the tomb was empty. Man, what is going on? You know, they were here. They're trying to explain to this stranger, "Hey, are you not aware of all the things that went on this past week?" And they're trying to explain to him. And verse 21 says, "And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also, our company, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying, they that had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive." They said, "Man, not only did all that happen, but we went, there was people that went to the sepulchre and it's empty. I told y'all a week ago, you can go there now and it's still empty. It's still empty. He arose." So verse 23, it says, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. They said, "Man, it's just like the women said. Oh, and by the way, he wasn't in there." Well, what did the women say? They just didn't take the women's word for it at anything. They went over there. His body wasn't there. They came back. They went and checked it out themselves. And they said, "Well, the women said one thing, but you know what? His body wasn't there." Whatever the women said, it doesn't matter. His body wasn't there. Verse 25, "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And what a Bible lesson. What a Bible lesson that would have been. They tell him everything that went on concerning himself. They tell him everything that went on. And then he says, "Man, y'all don't get it either. I'm telling you, up to this point, no one believed. There's only one that I found in all the Scriptures that believed that He arose from the dead. It's my favorite author of the Bible, John. It says that Peter ran ahead of Him and stooped down looking in and saw the grave clothes gone. It said that John come up, the Beloved came up, looked in, saw and believed. John got it right then. Everyone else had problems understanding that He did what He said He was going to do. Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went. And He made as though He would have gone further, but they constrained Him. Jesus just acted like He was going to, you know, hey, y'all are home, I'm going to go on over here. But they constrained Him. That word actually constrained in the Greek means that they were going to inflict bodily harm on Him if He didn't stay. That's how adamant they wanted Him to stay at their house. I hope we would be the same way. Here's Jesus who just expounded from Genesis to Matthew, or I guess all the way to Romans. And they didn't want Him going away. Man, they said, hang on, tell us more. Tell us more. You know, hopefully we've been in that position where you go, hey, don't stop. You know, I know when Brother Stewart's here, man, you look up and, wow, we've been here that long. But it's been, you know, hey, don't stop. Let those that want to go home, go home. You know, we'll just keep going. We want to hear more. It says, they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. So they leave Jerusalem. They walk out on that road made by the Romans, and they get off on a little cow trail, and they go up to this small village, and they get to their house. And they constrain Him, and they said, look, it's late. You know, you don't need to be out on the road. Come in with us, and we'll feed you, take care of you. They were going to be hospitable. I told y'all before, the Jews were very hospitable people and would always want to bring people in. So they constrained Him, and He went in to tarry with them. And verse 30 says, and it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave to them. Here again, Jesus is feeding again, all the time feeding. He's already fed their spiritual needs. Now He's feeding their physical needs. But as He breaks the bread and presents it to them, it's similar to what He had done when He fed the 5,000. It's similar to what He done in the upper room when He blessed the breaking of the bread. He said, this is My body. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. They're the host. He comes in. They treat Him as an honored guest. Now remember, they didn't sit at the table. They laid around, you know, probably on pillows. But then look what He does. He takes charge. He becomes the host. He takes and blesses the bread and gives it out to them. More than likely, when He broke that bread and they were watching what He was doing, they probably saw the nail scars in His hands. They probably said, wow, we know who You are. You know what? When we see Him, we're going to know who He is. We're going to know exactly who He is, all the things about Him. They saw Him break that bread. Probably quit looking at His eyes for a minute. He broke the bread and they looked finally at His hands and saw the nail-scarred hands and realized that He was the one that sacrificed for them. And immediately, their eyes were opened and they knew Him and He vanished out of their sight. I don't know what He did. He vanished. We're fixing to see here in just a second that He just appears in the upper room. So probably the same way He appeared is the same way He disappeared. Remember, He has a resurrected body now. And you know, one day we're going to have that. Y'all very happily celebrated my 50th birthday with me. Thank you. Some of y'all for still rubbing it in. I begin now to feel the pains of a 50-year-old. And the abuse that I did. Why did everybody look at Stan? Stan and I know what was going on. Everybody looked over at you. all self-inflicted, but one day I'm going to get a new body. And one that works right and does the things that it's supposed to do. So Jesus disappears out of their sight. And I think it's so very interesting what this couple does. Verse 32, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures?" Man, their heart was on fire. Man, they couldn't get enough. Jeremiah, the prophet, said that he burned within himself at the Scriptures. Man, it should be a fire. You know, the Psalms tells us that it's a lamp, a light unto my path. But it says that their hearts their heart burned within them. And look at verse 33. "And they arose up the same hour." Now remember, it's night. The Passover is done. They said they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." So they go back to the upper room. The 11 apostles are there. Several others have gathered in the upper room. They show up and they're bubbling over. Now Jesus just walked us home. He sat down and had supper with us. He told us all the Scriptures and taught us. They couldn't wait. And they got there and they had to wait. Because when they came in, they said, "Hey, Jesus has appeared unto Simon." Okay, so, wait till you hear our story. Wait till you hear what He did with us. It says they said, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." You know, He didn't come and knock at the door. You don't understand how that would have freaked them all out. Thinking, the Sanhedrin police are here. Our fears have come to fruition. They're here to get us now. They've killed our Savior. Now they're coming to get us. He didn't knock at the door and freak them out. He didn't knock at the door and them open and them just be shocked beyond belief that there He stood. He stood in the middle of them and said, "Peace be unto you." I thought about this last week of Jesus saying peace. And I think we've so misused and not understood that word of what peace is, of what God's peace is. If you will, you see the ocean. The ocean is never at peace. Wave pushing on wave, cracking against each other, white caps, all the time in turmoil because there's no peace there. And at one point, Jesus stood up and said, "Peace, be still." And even the turmoil of all that water was smooth as glass. That's a peace right there. When He can command all that pushing and shoving to stop and be at peace. You know, we can enter into God's peace. That's what He wants us to do in Jesus Christ. Here He says, "Peace be unto you." Don't be alarmed. Be at peace. I'm here, just as I said I would. Verse 37, "But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Handle me and see, for the spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, He said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. That's a threefold definition of the Old Testament Scriptures. You have the historical books, you have the poetic books, and you have the prophetical books. All three of those picture Christ and His coming. All three of them. He says, when I was here before, I told you about me and every one of those, that everything that was said from Genesis all the way to Malachi had to be fulfilled to a T. It had to be done that way because remember, if anything in the Old Testament did not come true, it wasn't of God. Right? So there was no way that one jot or tittle couldn't be done. Everything had to be done as foretold in the Old Testament Scriptures, all the way down to the gambling for his clothes. Everything. The ass's foal. Everything had to be done just like it was foretold in the Old Testament, or the Old Testament has no bearing. Right? If there's one thing out of line, boy, you want to rile me up, tell me that there's fallacies in the Bible. Just, you know, hey, well, you know it's not all, you know, it's not all right. Okay, well, show me. Let's just get it started. Show me where it's at. Because, first of all, you don't know. And I can't defend it. So, we've got an argument that's never going to work out. But just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not so. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Sincere and diligent believers, when they study the Word of God, God gives them understanding of the Word. If you're sincere and you're very diligent in your looking into the Word of God and wanting to understand, God will give you that through His Spirit. You know, anytime you sit down to read the Word of God, you pray that God's Spirit would teach you what it is that's written here. Those ones that think it's incomprehensible, that it's just foolishness to an unbeliever. You know, they look at it and say, "Well, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me." Well, that's because they can't comprehend it. He says right here, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye endued with the power from on high." That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, and remember, this is right after the resurrection, same day. They run back to the upper room. It's probably right at the very end of the day because the new day starts at 6 in the evening. They get back. By the way, if it had been on Saturday, they would have been breaking the law by walking too far. I tried to look that up this morning. I thought, man, good thing it was the next day. They couldn't even have went home, according to the law. But he sends His promise of the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit is who is here with us now. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send another Comforter. But this has just happened. He's just arose from the dead. For 40 more days, He appears to people. He appears to 500. He appears to a number of them for 40 days. He ends up on the Sea of Galilee with seven of the apostles. They're fishing. They've fished all night. This 40 days, they end up leaving Jerusalem. They go back to Galilee, and there they sit, twiddling their thumbs, saying, I thought we were supposed to do something. I thought we were supposed to get going here. And He appears to them. And it starts the 10-day watch. Because remember, at Pentecost is when the empowering of the Holy Spirit came. Pentecost is 50. So the 50 days after the Passover was the Feast of Pentecost. That's when is this thing sinking? Or is my eyes getting worse? Okay. It's like, man. I'm sorry. Did you sneak over here? Okay, all right. So for 40 days He showed Himself, and they end up going to Jerusalem or to Galilee. He appears to them on the shore again. They don't recognize Him. He hollers out to them and says, "Have you caught anything?" And they said, "No, been toiling here all night." And He says, "Well, cast your net on the other side, on the right side." And they got so many that they couldn't haul them in, but their net didn't break. And when He had said this, one said to the other, "It's Jesus." He remembered back in chapter 5 when He said, "Hey, have you caught anything? Well, try this." And remember, their nets broke that time. He said this time they caught so many their nets didn't break. But Peter realized it was Him. He girded himself up. He jumped out of the ship and took out. It was about 200 yards out. He jumps out and takes off running because the boat wasn't going fast enough to get to him. The others come in, and he feeds them, and then gives them the Great Commission. And then in the next 10 days is when they go back to Jerusalem and wait on Pentecost, and they're empowering. They didn't have any power to do that right now. As you see, they didn't believe. He warned them about their hardening of their hearts and their unbelief. Go look with me, if you will, right quick, in Mark 16. I'm sorry, try John. That'll work a lot better. John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 1 says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre to see if the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved." That's John who's writing this book. "And saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they had laid Him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre, and stooping down, looked in, and saw the linen clothes lying yet, and he went not in. Then cometh Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeing if the linen clothes lying, the napkin that was about his head, nor lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in the place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre. He saw and believed." John looked in, he went in, he saw it, he looked at it, and he said, "Now I know." He said He was going to rise from the dead. And that's exactly what's happened here. It says he saw and believed. The others had a difficulty in believing. He appears to them, and they still don't take each other's word for it. He appears to them, and they believe, but they don't have the power. Man, we can believe. There's many Christians in here that believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. But can you go out on visitation and tell somebody else? You just don't have the power. That power is the Holy Spirit, that if you will fortify the Spirit with the Word of God, I'm telling you, lives change. Brother Harry Shepherd. And I don't know how many of y'all known him very long, but when I met him, I didn't even think he spoke. now he goes after them. Doyce has quit looking at the ground and fiddling with his change. I mean, that spirit gives you the fortification and what you have to go out and share with others. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. Father, thank you for the day that we have. Father, we pray that your spirit would be among us. Lord, if there be one here lost, that today would be the day that they accept you as their Savior. Lord, that you'd give Brother Crawford wisdom from on high. Lord, that Lord, again, that lives would be changed, Lord, in a positive way. Lord, if there's anyone here that just haven't joined us, Lord, in what you would have us to do, that today they would step forward and join us as a church and encourage us. Lord, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.